If I ask you a question, are you a leader? How would you respond? Are you a leader? Somebody answers me. But there is a young woman who wanted to go to college. No, before you go to college, you need to write an essay and you need to fill in the application form. But her heart sank when she read the question on the application form. They asked, are you a leader? She was very honored. She wrote, no, I'm not a leader. And she returned the application exactly the words to happen. To her surprise, she received a letter from the college that says this: Dear applicants, a study of the application forms reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. Everybody finds themselves to be leaders. But we are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower. So if everybody is a leader, who is going to follow? No work will be done if everybody is a leader. We need both leaders and followers. So who is a leader? What's the definition of a leader? Could someone give me a simple definition of a leader? Who is a leader? What does it mean? What does one do when one leads? So the leader, but you're talking about the follower, right? Obey the orders of the leader. But what does it mean? Yeah, the leader will give command. You see, leaders give commands. If you're working, you have boss. If you can assign you tasks to do, do this, do that, okay? Command. So many of you might have this perception of what a leader is like. But according to my studies, the biblical definition of leader is that a leader is a person with God-given capacity and God-given responsibility who influences, okay? Someone who can influence other people. A group of followers, someone who has followers. If you have no followers, then you're not a leader, okay? Towards God's purposes for the group. It's for God's purposes. So let me repeat. A leader is a person with God-given capacity and God-given responsibility who influences a group of followers towards God's purposes for the people. So the central element of this definition is that the leader has influence towards followers, towards God's purposes. Someone put it simply, who a leader is. Someone who knows where he's going and is able to persuade others to go along with him. So if you don't even know where you're going, how can you lead other people to where you're going, okay? So the most basic thing that a leader should know is, where am I going? And I know where I'm going is good for other people, so I persuade other people to come along and then let's go together. Someone who can also motivate other people to go along. Given that definition of a leader, then what? Who is a follower? A follower then is a person with God-given capacity, God-given responsibility, who supports a godly leader towards God's purposes for the group. So the central element of this definition of a follower is his commitment to support the leader towards God's purposes. The keywords are commitment to support. A follower supports the leader towards God's purposes. So today we will see how we can be godly leaders. Everybody wants to be a leader. But not every one of us is a leader. And some of us know that we are a follower. But how can we be good followers? And if God has called you to be a leader, how can you be a godly leader? We will see that from Joshua chapter 1, verse 10 to verse 18. First, from verse 10 to verse 15, we will see the qualities of a godly leader. First of all, a godly leader to be in tune with God. What does it mean? According to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, that's what we studied earlier, God told Joshua that, do not let this word do not let this book of the law be taught in your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. We all want to be prosperous and successful, but I have defined what is success in God's eyes that time. But how can we be prosperous and successful? Let God's word not be part of your mouth. Talk about God's word. Think about it day and night. What you have read from the Bible, you don't just go through it in Sunday school or during worship service and then just throw that away during the weekday and not even read it. But after you have read it, you also think about it day and night. And then you'll be very careful to do those things God has taught you to do. So someone who is in tune with God is someone who is willing to follow God, to talk about God, to think about God, and also do what God wants him to do. Godly leaders are spiritual leaders. You'll notice that godly leaders are different from secular leaders. Orton told me that, yes, leaders will give commands. Worldly leaders will give commands because they have authority. They will command people to do things. They will boss people around. They will bully people, okay? Because they have authority. If you don't do it, you'll be fired. So that's a negative incentive for the followers to do things. But that's not the incentive God wants us to have. And that's not the way that God wants us to be a leader. Because spiritual leaders are called by God to do supernatural things, which cannot be achieved by their own power. So every spiritual leader must, as themselves, humbly depend on God. Yet do something that's beyond your capacity. Okay? So if you try to depend on yourself, you're not going to be able to do it. So you need to humbly depend on God. So godly leaders are supernatural leaders, like Superman. We are given supernatural powers to accomplish the supernatural goals that God has given us in the Bible. Think about what would happen if every spiritual leader, every godly leader is in tune with God. And think about if every spiritual leader is not in tune with God and continues to serve God through all kinds of things in his church, what would be the result? First, the result of spiritual leaders being in tune with God is that they would do everything to please God, not to please people. They are not doing things to make other people happy, to impress other people. But this world is full of people who try to impress other people. If you do something, people say that, oh, you're so good. Pastor Johnny, Minister Tan, you preach such a good message. If I try to get that praise out of people, and that's my goal, motivation to share God's word, then okay? Nobody is giving me any positive feedback, then I'll be depressed. Okay? I'm not going to continue anymore. So, spiritual leaders, they do everything to please God, not people. God is not easy to please, but God is still loving, gracious, and if we're willing to depend on him, sometimes I feel it's easier to please God than to please people. People have all kinds of needs, they want this, they want that, and they are never happy, never satisfied. So if you just focus on God, on pleasing God, do not care too much about what other people will say or do to you because what you are doing for God, then you can continue to serve God faithfully. There are people who would impress people by giving a good sermon in mega churches. Like some mega churches have like more than 30,000 people, and about 10,000 people would sit and listen to the preacher, and the preacher can make a great impact, good impression. But if the preacher goes back home and then just becomes someone totally different in his private life, do all kinds of simple things. Yell at his wife. Not being kind to his kids. But he goes to a restaurant. She will not even respect the waiter or waitress. She will not even look at the waiter or waitress. The kind of person, who are you? You're going to serve me, okay? And they don't really even care about these people. Some of them might get caught into some kind of sin. While they're serving the web, they go to websites they should not go to. Because nobody is around, okay? So nobody knows about it. But God is around. God always knows about it. So a true spiritual leader does everything to please God, not people. As a result, even in his private life, he would watch out what he does, what he thinks, what he says, in order to please God. Because God can see, God knows how every thought. Second, what will happen if every spiritual leader is in tune with God? The Holy Spirit will then be at work. Because when you're willing to let God do the work, pray to God, the Holy Spirit, who dwells in us, will help us do His work. Then we'll be able to do the supernatural work of changing people's hearts and lives for God's glory. How can one change other people's lives? It's a supernatural work. You can command people to do things, but their hearts, how can you change their heart to be willingly to serve God? It is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of God. At secular workplace, because you are afraid that you might be fired, or at school, if you don't do the school work, somehow you'll be punished, or your parents will not be happy, and then you try not to do this or not to do that. But these are not another word that's supernatural. If in your heart you're still not willing to do it and you just do it, then that's what secular leaders can do. But you're not doing it. Party. But the Bible wants us to do things for God partly. You know, although I can share with you God's message, but God will not work in your life until you're willing to accept God's word as truth and be willing to apply God's word. And we can only do that through prayer for each other, prayer for yourself, so that the Holy Spirit will be at work. Third, what will happen is every spiritual leader is in tune with God. They will have humble relationships with other leaders, and they will have humble relationships with other people that they are leading or are supposed to say serving. Because Jesus said, I come here not to lord over people, but to serve people. He became a servant, but he was God. As a result, there will be no hierarchy. Everybody is equal in God's eyes. He will not look down upon someone who is younger, who is not as gifted as you are. Because after all, everybody depends on God to do God's work. Why do you have to be so proud of? It's a God-given gift. God-given capacity. Besides, even if you have all kinds of gifts, can you change people's hearts by all the gifts? And can you glorify God by all the gifts you have? If you have all kinds of gifts, if you give a good performance and people will praise you, then you have done the glory. It's not God. That is glory. And you are not doing God's will. And you are not changing people's hearts. Four, what would happen if every spiritual leader is in tune with God? The spiritual leaders would know and serve people instead of trying to lord or bully over people, because only God is our Lord. God is our only Lord. We are not anybody's Lord or master. We are only God's servants. For then God treats us as his children and his friends. So be in tune with God. Second, the second quality of a godly leader is that a godly leader who is qualified to lead is willing to take tough stands. Look at Joshua chapter 1 verse 10. He says, so Joshua orders the officers of the people. Joshua was not courageous, was not strong. That's why we saw that God encouraged him to be strong and courageous. According to the verses we studied last time, it was repeated. more than one time, two times, three times, once and again, Joshua, be strong and courageous. But now, Joshua is taking a tough stand. He's no longer weak. He orders the officers of the people to take action. Joshua was not unfriendly. He said, if you'd like to, go ahead, okay? Go to the promised land. If you don't feel nice, that's okay. Joshua ordered the officers. Joshua was not uncertain. He was not hesitant, nor did he delay any longer. The people must move into the promised land. Then, more than ever, Joshua issued command. God also has given us the command for the English ministry. You know what it is? That is, God also has a command for every Christian. You know what's the command? Do you know what's the greatest commandment? Do you know what's the great commission? Have you heard of that? According to Matthew 22:37, the main purpose that we live today is to love God and then love other people. That is the greatest commandment. If you have forgotten every teaching in the Bible, do not forget this. For Jesus himself said, that's the most important commandment in the Bible, is to first love God, and then love your neighbors, other people. I explain more in the future what that means. How do we love God and love other people? The second is the Great Commission. It's something God asks us to do. It's a mission that God has given every Christian. What is that? Therefore, go make disciples of all nations. You first become a Christian. And then you decide to follow Jesus Christ by getting baptized, make a commitment to follow Christ for the rest of your life. You become a disciple of Christ. But you don't stop just there. You continue to learn, and you also go make disciples of other people. Also teach them about what they have learned from the Bible. So put them together. I have formed God gave me wisdom to form the mission statement for the English ministry. Later on, I want someone with artistic talent gifts to help me to design a banner so that we can see what God wants every member of English ministry to do. It's this. First, be united by God's love. Set our source of power. Then what do we do? We love Christ and to make His love known. We don't just love Christ, but we also want to share with other people Christ's love. That is a great commission. We should go make disciples of all nations. Where should we do it? The Bible says that we should go to all nations, okay? So therefore, we should be united by God's love. We should love Christ and make His love known from Baptist roots to all nations. That's why we are going to not only do community service here, help other people in need, we are also going to step out of Baptist roots, out of the United States. I'm planning on to bring some of you to Taiwan or the Philippines, and in the future, maybe Thailand, India, to see what God is doing here. And experience God's power to change people's lives there. What's the purpose? Do all that. In order to glorify God as in the great commandment and become mighty mature disciples of Christ. To put that together, try to memorize that, okay? I try to preach to you on that. First, our source of power, be united by God's love. What do we do? To love Christ and to make Christ love known. Where do we do it? In Baptist Rouge, to all nations. Why do we do that? In order to glorify God, and also for us to become mature and mighty disciples of Christ. What will happen if you become a mature disciple? You will get all the good things that God has promised you, the spiritual blessing. That's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, if you're willing to completely in tune with God, the Holy Spirit will help you, and you will have fruit of spirit that is love, that it will be love. There will be joy. You'll be joyful, even though you have not gotten the best grade in school. Although you have not gotten a grade in school, just joyful because you have not. You feel peaceful in your heart. You can express mightily. You feel so think about things about God. Many people have all kinds of things, and yet their minds cannot just quiet down. They cannot even sleep. They lose sleep. Sleepless. Many people in America have gotten sleep. If you only have the fruit of the Spirit, you will have peace in your heart, and you'll be able to sleep. Of course, there are people who have some medical disorders. They do need to take some medication. They also help them, okay, even though they have they might have problems. Even though they have teeth, because some people still have some physical disorders, they do need medication. But those are exceptions. You also will be patient. You'll be kind. You'll be good. You'll be faithful. You'll be gentle. You'll not be angry. Uncontrollable. You'll be able to control yourself. You'll be able to have self-control. What if you have all these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit? What kind of person will you become? You will be someone who is very attractive to people who have not known Christ yet. So these are the things that we should pray to God continually, ask God to help us to have, so that we can have all these fruit of the Spirit, and we can indeed be a mighty witness for God. And people want to know you. People want to know Christ. And then they will also experience the blessing as they drive. And the time to do it is now. So what the mission statement of the English ministry can you read? Remember as much as you can. Tell me, at least what you can remember. You're lucky. What do we do? Yeah, that's where we do it. To love Christ and to make His love known. From Baton Rouge to all nations. What would happen then? What's the result or what's the purpose? To glorify God. And also to become mature, spiritual maturity. We have the fruit of the Spirit and will become mighty witness or disciple for Christ. Three, the first quality of a good leader is to be able to delegate its responsibility. That's in verse 10 also. You see that, so Joshua orders the officers of the people. He orders, who did he order? The officers of the people. Go through the camp and tell the people this and that. These are the things you should do. Can you imagine how many people there are? What would happen if Joshua tried to tell everybody about the commands from God He Himself? It probably would take forever. That's why Joshua orders the officers of the people. Joshua did this by working through the administrative structure that was already there. He commanded the officers of the people to carry the word through the camp, that within 3 days they would be passing over the Jordan River to claim the promised land that God has already promised to give them. They just need to go. Do we have officers in the English ministry? We do it through the English ministry committee members. We prayed, before I came here, I prayed that God would provide more committee, English committee members, because after I come, I found out that Freddie and I and Abishai will be leaving, and Aaron and only Teresa, Wendy, they are the English committee members, and of course, Pastor Chan and Elvis Shaw, they were also the English committee members. But we need more people to do the great job, the great work that God has given us. Thank God, after I've come, God provided the English ministry committee members. Now, including myself, not including pastors and elder staff, we have 7 people. Previously, including myself, only 3 people. God provided. You only need to pray and ask. In the English committee, we will have different members coordinating help in different areas, in worship and prayer. If you have passion in worship and prayer, there will be someone who will contact you. And I will send you an email. You have get passion, you really want to serve in this area, let me know through the email. I send you an email reply to me. In that area, we need worship teams. We need ushers. We need welcomers to welcome new friends. Obviously, we need AV support and even doing some research for me so that I don't need to come every time to set up the projector, the computer, the remote control, the speakers, everything. So, if we can have all that set up, then I can have more time to pray with the worship team members and then get ready and then let the Holy Spirit help us through the process. Now, I'm so caught up in so many different things. So we need help in the AV, audio visual part of the worship service. We have projectors set up, we have computers set up, speakers, microphones. So when I ask someone to read the scriptures, everybody can hear. Some of you are really soft and gentle. You speak very softly, but not everybody can hear it, okay? So we need microphones and speakers. And later on, the sermon that will be recorded, you can go online to review it, listen to it, or if you miss the worship service because of certain circumstances, emerging circumstances, you can listen to it. There will be one English committee member who will be responsible for Sunday school teaching. That person will teach and also would work together with other future Sunday school teachers. If you see that God has given you the gift of teaching, and you have the training in teaching that I'm doing in the Sunday school, let me know. Let's teach. Let's work together. Fellowship and caring. We'll have fellowship Bible study leaders training. So are you willing to be a fellowship Bible study leader? We have small groups for the youth. We will need someone to lead the Bible study so that I don't need to be leading the Bible study every time, every time. I think I'm beginning to burn out if I continue to lead the fellowship group meeting every week with the different fellowship group meetings, 3 others. But every Friday I'll be leading the youth group here. And then I'll be Sunday school. And then I'll be preaching the sermon. So, and doing all different types of things. That's why we need to work together. And each one contributes the special gifts that God has given you. Instead of just sitting there, we need to actively participate in the worship. That's how we worship God. To give everything we have, our thoughts, our words, our actions, how to actively participate so that God will be pleased when we are willing to give to God what we have. We also have one committee member responsible for outreach who will do community service in the future every month to help those people who are less privileged, who are poor, who don't have what we have, who are living in a very poor, unsafe environment, or those people who are in the hospital, they're really ill, they need friends to visit them, or in the home for the elderly. I will email you and please email me back if you're interested in serving in any of these areas. 4, a leader who is qualified to lead has a plan of action. According to chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1 verse 11, what does it say? It says, go through the camp and tell the people. Get your supplies ready. First of all, get ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. There are 3 things that Joshua asked the people to do. He has a plan of action. First of all, asking the people to get ready. Second, pass over. Third, possess. The own what God has promised to them. Learning from a good leader like Joshua, God has given me plans of action for English ministry. In these different areas that I just shared with you, I will send you an email and you'll look at it, give me some feedback, and how we can implement that. And I'm really thankful. Some of the things I've been planning, praying about, God has already provided us help in this area. And that has already become a reality, like the worship service this night. We didn't have that. We didn't have worship service bulletin. But now we have it in the electronic format. And many other things. Yes, there will be very exciting things that will be happening in the future, including fellowship. The English ministry lunch, we'll have an English ministry lunch. I know you guys don't like Chinese food. So, on the third Sunday, we'll order some pizza or some other food tonight, and then we'll have fellowship over lunch in the room next door, and we can play chess, and enjoy the drinks. And after that, we can play ping pong. I'm also planning to train you in Taekwondo, so if you're willing to learn, I'm willing to teach you. So that everybody will not only be strong spiritually, but also be strong physically. Be disciplined. If you're physically disciplined, then you can also have the same quality. Come with that into your spiritual life. You can also be a spiritually disciplined man. And we're also, for the first Sunday of every month, we'll go to CCC Day. And that Sunday, it's also the Sunday I want you to invite all your friends who are not Christians yet, so that they can hear the gospel. After they have heard the gospel, and after we have heard the gospel from a different perspective, with different examples to help you understand deeper the gospel that has given us eternal life, we will take the Lord's Supper. Then we'll remember better, appreciate more what Jesus did for us. After that, we'll go to Jesus Pizza or some other good places you can recommend. Okay? Last month, actually this month, there was no lunch provided in the fellowship hall. As a result, we had to go to Jesus Pizza. It became a blessing because everybody went there and we had a good time of fellowship and we enjoyed the food there, Jesus Pizza. That's what you guys grew up with, so that's why you enjoy it. Pizza more than Chinese fried plate. Okay? So we'll have that, and many other good things will be happening. But there are areas we need your help. So let's work together. It takes more than godly leaders to realize the dream for each one of us in the English ministry. If everybody is a leader, who's going to be the follower? We need leaders and we need followers to work together to support the leader to do what God wanted to do. Let me share with you two qualities of a good godly follower. First, godly followers are willing to subordinate personal interests for the community good. Yes, godly followers, they are willing to subordinate their personal preferences, interests, what they want for the good of the whole body of Christ, the English ministry. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 12 to verse 15. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, "Remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land. These people, they have already gotten a piece of land. That they don't need to cross the Jordan River to claim it. They already have gotten it. Okay? So they don't need to do anything. Okay? But your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you, east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, moving armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You have to help your brothers. Until the Lord has also given them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunshine." What is it telling us here? Here, in verse 12 to 15, it's telling us about the story of the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh. According to Deuteronomy chapter 3 and Numbers chapter 32, they have already gotten this land. Moses said, "You guys can have this land." Okay? So they have good reasons not to cross the Jordan River. I have already got the time. What I need to do? Why do I need to go with you to risk my life for something that you will get, but I will not get, and other people? So you have, they have very good reasons not to participate. Besides, they can get excuses. You guys have so many people helping you now. You don't need me to help. What they might say, I have lies. I have students to kick me off. Sorry, I'll not be able to help. But they were willing to help. But we see later. We really can learn a lot from them. The same kind of things are also happening in the church. We are a family. Within an ideal family, you'll see the richer ones being willing to help the poorer ones. The ones that are better provided will be willing to help those who are more in need. We're called to be sensitive to widows and orphans. Some of us are older. They have gone through all the nice stages. They were youth, and then college students, and then they work, they got married, they have kids, and then they're about to retire. They'll think, I have done everything that the Lord wants me to do. It's time for me to just rest and watch other people, and then other people serve me. So you never retire from doing God's work. It's an, you have eternal life, you continually work with God, even when you're in heaven. So, don't just cross your hands and think, I've done my part of the work, I'm not going to do any more. What I can think of is that the college students, you have survived the high school year. It's time for you to help those who are struggling in middle school and high school. Raising all kinds of challenges in middle school and high school. Not certain about SAT, what I'm going to do with that. Can I go to a college that I want to go to? You guys have gone through that. Some of you already have cards. But in middle school and high school, you don't have cards. And if they want to come to Friday, you'll be they need rice. You guys are the ones who can provide rice. You guys are the ones who can even teach them what you have learned from the Bible. You can be Bible study leaders too. So if more people, more college students or who are stepping into college can be Bible study leaders, then they can go, hey, maybe each person only needs once a month. Then we have four Bible study leaders, each one needing once a month. Then I can just get you guys to help the youth, and then that will bring me up to spend more time to some other things that God wants me to do as long as right? How about those who are already working? You can help the college students. They're struggling about what would I do in the future after I graduate. What career path should I choose? If they have already been through that process, you can give good advice. What if you're already married? You can help those who are working or in college but have already started dating. Share with them what it means to be in a relationship. Share with them the biblical teachings about marriage and relationship. It will be a lifelong blessing to them. If you're retired, it's good for you, you have another time in your hands. And you have gone through all these life stages, you can give good advice to people and provide help to those people. Married couples with kids, can they still date? Only if someone can take care of their babies on a particular night. Maybe someone who's retired, they are experienced taking care of babies. They can maybe help Wendy and Sam take care of their baby for a night, so that they can go out for a date and rekindle that passion and love that they had when they were dating. Okay? They can go to watch a movie together, walk by the lake, and have some romantic time. But if they always have a date with them, cannot make that time to have such moments. So there are many things that we can help after we have gone through a date. We think we don't have such need, but we can help others who are still struggling with such need. Second, godly people are willing to be united in the common path. Following is not given leadership. They have one common path. Pay attention here. Joshua chapter 1, verse 16 to 18. You will see the good qualities of a good follower who is willing to follow the leader no matter what. I'm really touched by how they are willing to follow Joshua's leadership. Although Joshua just became a leader. Verse 16, then they said, then they answered Joshua, 16, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you. They are even lacking and in some way praying for Joshua. May the Lord be with you. Not only will we obey you to help you, but we also pray that the Lord be with you. That's the most important thing. As he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your word, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. No wonder they could capture, no wonder they could take possession of the promised land with such a good leader, with such committed followers. Whoever was not willing to follow would be put to death. And you imagine, if you're not willing to serve God, you'll be put to death if you have that type of commitment. Well, you're willing to die if I don't obey the leader, I'd rather die. I deserve that. It's like in the ministry, okay? Here we're talking about something very serious, because if they don't have that kind of commitment, they are not going to win the battle. So, God's kingdom is much more effective. God's enterprise is much more effectively accomplished when God's people, although they are very different, they are united together by one common purpose, seeing a present danger to us all as a whole. If we can do that, we'll be able to realize the dream for each one of us to become a pure-minded disciple for Christ. In this lost, evil world, we need to work together. Now let me show you a little video clip that will wrap up the teaching on leadership and followership. You'll see some violent things, okay? When I tell you to close your eyes, girls, you might want to close your eyes, there's some bloody violent things. But I'm trying to use this as a demonstration of the actual spiritual battle that we're facing. Although we don't see it, it can be as bloody as this, although you don't see the physical blood. But if you don't unite together, you will see the spiritual blood. I'll explain what that means, okay?
Oh, so sit back and let's enjoy this. Some of you might know what this movie is. Tell me what that movie is later, okay?
I have no idea.
Okay, could someone turn off the light?
Whatever comes out of these gates, there are better chances of survival if we work together. You understand? We stay together, we survive.
The legionaries of Scipio, Africa!
Fight up. there's no way we can win this battle.
According to Revelation, will be the prince who will ride
white horse, but he will conquer all the enemies for us. At this moment, we still need to see a lot of evil. If we only unite together, work together, we still have a chance to survive. If not, then we don't have a chance to survive. You might say, I'm not in any type of battle like this, but the spiritual battle can be just as bloody and as fierce as this. What would happen if we're shot by Satan's arrows? We will isolate ourselves in our own comfortable place. We don't come to church. We don't fellowship. We don't worship. And we think we can take care of our own selves. And in reality, in public, you might still act well. But in your private life, when you are not on guard, suddenly you are shot by Satan's arrows. When you have a simple thought, when you have a simple word to the person who is close to you, or when you actually do things in private, nobody is saying that you are sinning against God. When you are doing that, Satan has already won. You have already been attacked by Satan. That's why we need to come together. We need to watch each other's back, because we are attacked by Satan from all angles. If we are attacked from our back, no matter how strong you are, you will not see it and you will be attacked. That's why we need to work together. If we are in a circle, we can watch each other's back. So let's work together to do what God wants us to do. What's the mission of the English ministry again? Do you remember? We need to be united by God's love. We need to love Christ. We should love Christ first. And then we make His love known in Baton Rouge and all nations, in order that we can glorify God, and that we can become mature and mighty disciples for Christ. Today we have learned that as leaders, we need to be in tune with God first. We need to be willing to take tough stands. When it's time to act, tell people that it's time to act for God. Delegate responsibility. We cannot do everything by ourselves. We need people to work together to help do the work that God has given us to do. And we need to have a plan of action as good followers. We need to be willing to subordinate our personal interests, even though we have passed through that stage in your life. You are no longer in high school, no longer in college, no longer working, no longer there to kids, small babies. You can still help with the capacity that God has given you to help. Second, we need to be united in one common path that I have just told you. So let's all be great leaders and be great followers, united by God's love, and a common goal to realize the dream that God has given us. Let's pray and ask God to help us to live what God has taught us in Joshua chapter 1, verse 15, verse 10 to 16. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us such an example of a great godly leader, Joshua, and that you have also given us a great example of good people who are willing to follow Joshua, who are willing to support him. And they were even so committed that if they were not willing to follow, they would rather be put to death. Lord, give us the same kind of commitment that we have for Christ and for God's leaders in the church, and that we, each one, use our gifts in a different way, either as leaders or followers, to build up God's kingdom in Baton Rouge and all over the world, in order that you will be glorified and we will become mature and also mighty disciples for Christ. For you are our Savior, you are our God, you are the sovereign God who would finally defeat all evil. But at this point, we need to rely on you so that we will not fall into sin, even in our private life. Help us through your Holy Spirit to have the power to live out the truth in our life. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.